Hey, we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you for coming to Equipping Hour. Lord willing, you feel a little bit more equipped after this hour, both in your own sanctification, but and part of why we're here is because you want to be used in one another's lives. And Lord willing, we are going to be a source of good in one another's lives as we learn to help one another with anger. And this is the third week of our anger series. Can I get that first slide up? Oh, great. Hey, look at this. It's a slide about something completely different, but that's planned. So this is a slide talking about the upcoming Biblical Counseling Conference in Santa Clarita, October 2nd to 4th. That's a Monday to a Wednesday. And I'm throwing this slide out now because I think it is Tuesday is the last day to register for a discount. Now, I know that we've not talked a lot about this. I got to go to the Biblical Counseling Conference this last fall, and it was fantastic. When you go to like a pastor's conference, it's very exciting when you go to a pastor's conference, and it's kind of it's thrilling. We're all on the same team. We're going to keep doing the things that we're doing. We're going to keep preaching, and we're going to keep being dependent, and there's some problems in the church, but we're going to keep, you know, preaching. And it's really thrilling. That is the Shepherd's Conference. And you meet lots of people. Okay, this is for a biblical counseling conference. But you might like be like, well, I'm not a biblical counselor. Well, a sweet thing about a biblical counselor, where you go to a pastor's conference, and it's really directed towards pastors. Biblical counseling conferences are directed towards biblical counselors, but that's where things kind of get interesting because we're all called to give biblical counsel. We're all called to be used in one another's lives as a source of change. We're all called to be speaking truth into one another's lives. So if you've been enjoying this anger series, these anger resources I've been referencing have been written by biblical counselors. And if you are using this kind of anger, you know, in your life, you are benefiting from biblical counseling. And if you're enjoying maybe talking to your kids or your spouse about what you're learning, you're talking about biblical counseling. Biblical counseling is just helping us become more like Jesus Christ. It's learning how to change. So when I say a biblical counseling conference, who's it for? It's really for all of us who have the money and the time. It's really for all of us who have the money and time. I can't think of any of you who I'm looking at now, except maybe kids, young kids. But, I mean, you would enjoy this conference. So, it is October 2nd to 4th. Most often it is on the East Coast, or the last one was in Tennessee. This one is in Santa Clarita, excuse me. So I know it's far enough away that because of traffic, you probably would still have to get a hotel there. The conference, I think if you just register from Monday to Wednesday, is $230, but it's so cool. You not only hear all these thrilling messages and this year's topic is the sufficiency of Scripture as we help one another change. You're gonna hear these three, but then you get to go to these breakout sessions, and you like pick like one out of 10 or 20, and you're like, boy, most of these sound pretty good. And you have a hard time choosing. And then you go, and you're just sitting there, and you're learning like something about how do you comfort, encourage, listen to someone who's going through a miscarriage or someone who is dealing with insecurities and shame or trying to overcome an addiction. Okay, so those are just a couple of the kinds of things that I went to this last year. It's just so cool. So I'm going to stop talking about it. The info's there. Go to that biblicalcounseling.com and you'll find a link to it. I'm going to go. I know some of the elders are going to go. Some of the non-elders are going to go. I was just talking to Mike Chan. He's kind of hoping to go. I don't know if Caroline knows that yet. No, she doesn't know, but he's going to love it. This is a great opportunity for spouses to go together. Most pastors' conferences are men only or geared towards men. This is men and women together. I'm going to stop talking about it because I'm not getting paid to do this. I loved it last year. Loved it. And this one's close. It's only close like every 10 years. So take the opportunity, and I'm going to stop talking. But I will drop my clicker. Okay, we're going to start talking about this morning's topic, overcoming anger. And your handout is four pages, and I don't know how far we're going to get. We may just get through the first half, which is also the overflow from last week. So we'll see how far we get. We'll just do a quick little review here of what we've been learning, and we are going over this definition about anger. Robert Jones says, our anger is our whole personed active response of negative moral judgment against perceived evil. I'm kind of hoping as we're going through this anger series, you are becoming more aware how much perceived evil you see in your life. And maybe some of that is a good and righteous anger as you are listening to the news, right? As you listen to the news, there are lots of things going on in the news that we are perceiving evil, and we should have a negative moral judgment about. It's a whole personed active response. We should seek, if we can, to do something. But you're probably, hopefully, becoming more aware of how much evil you perceive that's not actually truly evil. It's just perceived evil. Like when your child does something that is an inconvenience to you, or someone says something to you that wasn't quite as polite as you were hoping, and all of a sudden you are perceiving evil in places where evil is not. Anyways, so that is what anger is. I'm going to keep repeating it because I think it's useful. David Paulson, again, I'm going to review this again and again. This is what happens. We perceive that something's wrong. We take a stance of disapproval and feel displeasure. How dare they? And in some way, I'm moved to action. So it might be to slam on our car horn. It might be to glare at the person next to us, make sure that they know that they have gone into my disapproval, even if I'm not brave enough to actually, you know, I don't know what brave would look like, but I guess angry enough to have road rage, which I'm glad. But my eyes look like I do, right? Like I'm scaring them. No, they're not really scared. Okay, so, and that is that implication of potential action. Anger always makes a value judgment. Anger is always a moral matter. Last time we talked about where anger comes from, how anger comes from our heart. It is out of the heart, and we spent a lot of time on James 4 and how if we're going to overcome anger, we have to understand where anger is coming from. It is coming from the passions that are warring inside of us and how we are fighting for what we can't have and how much, and I may have stretched it a little bit, but as you go through James 4, 1 to 10, how much it really is believing that God is for us, believing in the goodness of God. It is why we draw near to him, and it's why we resist Satan's lies. And so the source of anger is our hearts. We have, and I've quoted this again and again, maybe some of you have too, what is it that I want? Is it control? Is it a thing? Is it pleasure? Is it reputation? And so if you find yourself angry, it's quite possible it's one of those four. Maybe you have added to your personal list. Chris Rash does a whole ton of biblical examples that says, this is how we work. Let's see here. So last time I left you with a list, and I've reincluded it in your notes this time, of kind of how you can do some heart work or potentially help someone else do some heart work of what happens in your heart when you're angry. And so this is from chapter 13. I don't want to do any copyright infringement here. Chapter 13 of David Paulson's book, Good and Angry. A couple of you have read this book. It's a great book. But chapter 13 is 8 questions, taking your anger apart to put you back together. And what he's trying to do in this chapter is make sense of an incident of anger. And he kind of describes it as watching your anger in slow motion, doing a replay, thinking back, and say, okay, so there was this outburst. You may not even outburst. You just got so angry in your heart, and you felt your blood pressure surge. And what happened? And so I gave you these questions last time, and I'm just curious, did anyone look at an episode of anger and try journaling through those questions? I'm going to ask that question, and I'm going to have you raise your hand, but I'm not going to ask any follow-up questions. So if you raise your hand, you will not be picked on. I'm just curious if anyone tried that journaling exercise through those questions. Go ahead and raise your hand if you tried to journal through those questions. Okay, you're either very shy or want some more time to practice, which is great because that's what we're going to do. And we're going to have some fun with that this morning, trying to do a group exercise, and we're going to do some creative, almost some creative writing, some role playing. We're not going to do the role playing, but you guys are all going to be the role play managers, and we're going to make a situation kind of come to life for this person. So if you've watched any sporting activities recently, you've seen, and I don't know if it's a insurance commercial. You always know a good commercial if you remember what it's for. I don't remember what it's for. But there's two people who are squabbling, and then they play a slow motion replay to go back to what they really said, right? How many of you have seen that commercial? Okay, more than have done the journaling. Okay, so so you've seen that a slow motion, and you get to see, oh, like that is what really happened. We're gonna try to make sense of our anger with these 8 questions. You've got them there, and the first 4 are kind of what happened, and the second set of 4, 5 through 8 are kind of like what we can do next, and we'll try to do some of these in small groups together. So I don't actually know that we're going to get to the second half of those notes. You may just have to save those for next time. We'll see how far we get. Okay. Now, we're going to do some imagining together, kind of some playwriting. We're going to build a scene, put the character and backstory together, and here's the prompt, okay? Imagine you're all parents of an elementary age child. And this is not a true story. Margo, it's not about you. It's not about Nora, okay? Your elementary age child, you're not elementary age anyways, just spilled a drink on you. Let's imagine there you're holding a cup of coffee, which is a delicious beverage, and and that coffee gets poured on you as you are getting ready to leave for an important meeting, okay? Now, what happened was that your child was very happy. Maybe there's some music going on, some early morning worship music in your home. They're spinning around, and as there's, you know, you have a tight kitchen, and you're turning around with your coffee, and they come twirling through. You can imagine it's a girl child, I think, and come twirling through, and that is how you spill. So you've spilled coffee on yourself. You're going to have to get changed. You're not going to look as good as you did. You're thinking, I'm going to have to put on something that is not ironed, probably something wrinkly. I'm going to be even more late than I already am. Okay. Okay, we're just going to stop there. Okay. Does that feel like a situation you can imagine? You can sympathize with. Okay. So now we'll do these questions here, and you can add to it. So we can be a creative and really kind of dogpile on this poor person, and we can imagine the horrible consequences that are going to come, and it's going to be a lot of fun, or it won't be. So the first question is, what is my situation? I just described some of that there, and you've got some follow-up questions. I can't even read. Oh, good. So questions like when, what was going on, what caused this irritation, what were you mad at, what made you angry, And so anger has an occasion, and this is the occasion. So we'll just call this guy, I'd say Bob, but Bob's sitting right there. So we'll call him Fred. There's no Freds here. So, okay, so this is Fred, or Freddy, and we could be neutral, but we'll just call him Fred. Okay, so this is Fred, and we've described some of that situation there. Is there anything you want to add to Fred's situation of what just happened? Just throw out some creative details here. So when did this happen? You're journaling. Come on, tell me when. Monday morning, okay. And what time is it? 9 a.m., right? Because who doesn't have the meeting already at 9, right? So it's 9. He is already running late. Poor Fred. Are there any other details we want to add to this scene? What was his morning like? He woke up late, poor Fred, okay? And what else was going on? Was the music up loud? The music was loud, okay? It was worship music, but it's like, it's already loud. He woke up late. He did not iron his shirt the day before, so he just ironed it, and or maybe his dear wife did. Anything else we want to add to the situation to make it more real? Oh, wow. The kids kept him up all night. Okay. And is that because they're sick or because they need more discipline? We can talk about that later. Okay. Yes. Oh, wow. Okay, right. So he was already in a agitated. Now, did he make it right with his wife? Did he apologize or is he already fuming? No, okay, he is not there yet. Wow, okay. Okay, so this describes a little bit. Now, you can imagine when you have an angry episode in this upcoming week, and it may not even be one where you utter any curse words. Okay, you just may feel that inside you, that you're like, oh, I'm so fried right now. Okay, it's just irritated. You can actually do this when you find yourself in a grumbling fit. You know, nobody may even know. You may be by yourself just grumbling. Okay, great. So this is a little of Fred's poor situation. And how do I react? So how does Fred react to this? Now, coffee spilt. Okay, what is going on? What is going on in his thought life then? What is he thinking at that moment? This is your part. I'm going to be late, right? Okay, so immediately thinking of what the consequences are. Okay. Wow, that coffee's hot. Fortunately, he wasn't actually scalded. Okay. What might have he said to his child? It doesn't have to be horrible. Come on, he said something. Yeah, try to be more careful if he was a very gracious, nice Fred. Would you please be more careful next time? If then he wouldn't be doing this, a journal. Yes. Right. Haven't I told you? How many times have I told you? Okay. Yeah, now that's sounding a little bit more real there with that edge. Yeah, right. Like, I'm trying to get to a meeting to get you money. Yeah. I'm trying to buy you food. Yeah. Yeah, so thoughts of being a victim. Good. I love my coffee. I'm not going to have time for another cup. How am I going to make this day? That was a pour over. Do you know how long those take? Yeah. Yes, or it may not be, but it's stained now. Okay. So if we just give him, you know, so there's the initial outburst, and then he's starting to pull himself together. And let's say maybe before he's thinking, you know, all the nice biblical sanctified answers you want to give right now, he's just imagining. Okay. What is he thinking next? Right. Like, why me? Like, what have I done? How about a what if? Can anyone imagine a what if? Yeah. So I'm going to get in trouble. What if this meeting doesn't go well? What if we don't land this deal? What if, right? So all of these what ifs. What if there's, yeah, okay. So what ifs are our minds are very busy when we're angry, Pallison say. We could think about our child, right? We could prosecute them, right? How dare they? I've told them so many times. We could think about the telling off we're going to give them when we get home. I don't know if you've ever done that in an angry, playing through the conversations in your head again and again. How could I be so stupid if I'd been a little bit more careful? I always am doing dumb things like this. How did they react physiologically? How did their body react? Besides, ouch, because that's hot. Heart rate? Yeah. Yeah, right? So heart rate, adrenaline, maybe they did actually snap at their kids. Maybe they slapped their kids. Maybe their stomach is churning as they think they were already nervous and now they're even going to be more nervous. What emotions did they feel? Or could they have felt in this poor Fred? Anger, yeah, but okay, frustrated. Shout them out. Annoyed, yeah, annoyed. Fear. Nervous. Self-pity, awesome. Why does this always happen? Yeah, it's not emotion, but injustice is kind of an emotion, right? It's what anger is. Yeah, that there's something wrong here. Betrayed. How could God let this happen? Someone else? Resentment. Yeah, resentment. Kid. Resentment. Wife who isn't stopping the kid from spinning around. Resentment for you. Why didn't I train this kid better? Stress. Yeah. Okay, actions. We've kind of talked about whether snap. Okay, so this is where I can't say if you want to change, you will do this, because Scripture doesn't command us to do this, right? But wouldn't this be useful for you to do if you wanted to grow in this area? I mean, could you imagine the benefit for you if you were to talk through one of these kinds of situations when one of your kids get angry? Or when you're meeting with someone who's confessed to you, I'm struggling with anger, and you're like, well, will you do these 8 questions? Okay, so this is just question 2. Let's go to the 3rd question. What are my motives? You can see I had some fun with formatting. What are my motives? Why do you get angry? And okay, so that's just the general why. So it is easy to say, I was angry because I am wearing my coffee. But that's not really why you're angry. And in a sense, that seems obvious, right? Because if I wasn't wearing my coffee, I wouldn't be angry. So what's the source of my anger? I'm wearing my coffee. But this is the real why do you get angry? And so you go to these questions of like, and this gets back to James 4, of our battling desires and how our anger comes from our heart. It's not really about the coffee. Now, sometimes it could be, you know, I mean, if you're scalded and it's pain, it's difficult. But like, let's just say it didn't hurt. So what do you want? So what does Fred want? Fred wants to be on time, right? And why does Fred want to be on time? Because we want to push deeper there. Fred wants to be on time because. Okay, so if we think about why Fred wants to be on time, because it'll make an impact on this deal, and let's think about Ash's 4 things, like 4 desires: control, reputation, pleasure, or possessions? Which of those jumps out to you first? Reputation, right? Right? It'll make an impact. I could be a real help at this meeting. Or maybe control, right? I can make this meeting go well. I just lost control because I am not there at the beginning of the meeting. Okay. What do you believe you need and can't live without? I need there's a lot of overlap, yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, right, yeah. And so there, I want what I want when I want it. It sounds a lot like control. Yeah, right, yeah. Yes, and that is really when that and like that is where we need to go, is that to be increasingly sanctified, to be aware of God's goodness, to have been preaching the gospel to ourselves already that morning, so that we know that he's good even when that coffee spilt in ourselves, because we can have the fruit of the Spirit in that moment, right? And that fruit of the Spirit, having that love and the joy and the peace and the gentleness and the goodness and self-control in that moment, is a miracle, because you are united to Christ because of God's grace, so that you can have a different response. That is going to take us making our coffee and doing our day in a different way, where we are really reminding ourselves again and again and again that God is on the throne and he's good. Right? Okay. So what do you believe you need and I can't live without? I need this deal. I need to be on time. Right? And then I need to be on time because I need my boss to be happy with me. I need to be appreciated and I'm not going to be. I need kudos and I'm not going to get them. Right? I need to look good because I want to make a reputation. Sarah. Uh-huh. Well, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing. So a good thing becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing. So a good thing, like being responsible, to be at times a great responsible thing, becomes a bad thing when it becomes a ruling thing. And we know it's a ruling thing when we sin to get it, or we sin when we don't get it. So that may be a very great, I want to be a good worker, I want to be responsible, I want to bring glory to God. Well, if our concern is bringing glory to God at work, we're surely going to be concerned about bringing glory to God at home. Right? Like with our child. Yeah. So we want to be responsible at work, but do we want that more than being responsible in this little conflict that God has orchestrated? So what do I want? What is being responsible in this situation? It's going to be gracious. Maybe to have a corrective moment, to be thankful, to put up a prayer of trust to the Lord. Right? All these ways we bring glory to him. So responsible is good until it's all of a sudden it's taken away and I don't look responsible, or I'm not responsible, and whether that is control or reputation or pleasure, because I love looking responsible. Yeah. Pardon? Well, I don't know. We haven't gotten there. I mentioned his a wife. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we could definitely on it's one of these questions is to think what we could have done instead. And it's really useful to kind of, as we replay that, to think, well, how should have I responded, or how could I respond next time? Because that's part of the taking off and putting on. We want to take off sin and put on righteousness, and thinking through what I could have done instead is a really valuable part of what repentance is. As we so. What were my expectations, which is what Jesse mentioned to me last week, is a great question, right? If my expectation was, and this kind of goes to what Pastor Joshua was saying too, I'm God and I'm going to accomplish things my way, then you're going to be really angry. Right? If you are like, I am just a finite being, and finite beings have limits, and children make mistakes. And if you go into your day saying, and I'm already running late, if things have to be perfect, we're going to be angry people. If my expectations are, this is going to go exactly my way. This is what I was thinking about that last time. How much do we orchestrate our lives so that things go exactly our way? Or we try, and so we are angry when they don't. Here are some more. Oh, yeah, so what do you most fear? And we're going to have to zoom ahead. So I fear, and we can add on those. What do you most love? I love with all my heart right now. It's probably not your child. I love my child with all my heart right now. No, it's probably I love my boss's approval with all my heart right now. I love money with all my heart right now. I love order with all my heart right now. I love this shirt with all my heart right now. This was my favorite shirt, right? It'd be funny if it is funny because we know that's exactly what we think. Or I dropped my coffee cup. That was my favorite. I love that coffee cup. Yeah. Yes. Right.
No, I just want to be this, I just want to be that. But we should speak honestly. In this moment, this is what is happening.
Right.
I need a Savior.
Yeah.
I love a piece of fabric more than a person. And that Jesus came for people like that. So we don't have to be scared of being honest, but we're not going to actually deal with our anger as long as we put up all these smoke screens.
That's really good. Yeah, thank you. And, I do think that as you analyze your sinful responses afterwards, you can grow in shortening your response time. So that over time, you do understand, I am angry because I loved my shirt more than my child. And that is a path of sanctification, because it's going to change how the rest of that conversation goes. You may not say, child, will you forgive me? I love my shirt more than you. I have learned to not be too honest always. Be honest with the Lord and with yourself, but maybe not with your spouse. Okay. No, I'm kidding. Kinda. Okay. Have to learn to say, this caused me to, because I want. So this spilt coffee
caused me to be to lash out because I wanted to be God of this morning. Okay, so these are a little of what our motives are. I don't know if I have this next one. Okay. So what is... It is enough. Okay, so now what are some of the consequences? And so this is an important part of that of our slow motion replay. What are some of the consequences? The consequences are not what happens because you are late, but the consequences because of your anger. And let's just throw some out there. You can make this guy's day as bad as you want. Poor Fred.
When you just taught your child how to respond when somebody does something they don't like. So you might have told them, "Hey, here's an example of what to do when somebody's..."
Yep. Yeah, great. So you just discipled your child.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a negative consequence. Yeah, Art? Right. Yeah, there are consequences on other people. Your child might really be wondering now, like, is my father going to be angry all day? Does my dad love me? Right? Does my dad love his shirt more than me? I mean, this doesn't take a ton of rocket science there. Yes, her day is also been squashed. Sure. Yeah, great. How is he going to drive? Probably worse than he would have, right? Because now he is later. And he's teaching Anna anger that night. And so he's suddenly feeling very sick, and he doesn't know if he's going to make it. Okay, so what are the consequences on those around you, on your own heart? Maybe he feels self-pity now. What is he going to do with that sin? Does he run to a grace? Is he starting to think about how he's going to escape in sinful ways from this because of his outbursts? I mean, there's so many consequences when we don't do life God's way. So, and like that's there emotionally and physically, you too. Mike.
Maybe even doubting God's ability to work on his heart, to change him.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because when we don't deal with sin, that becomes increasingly our pattern. And there's real questions there. Like we may ask, well, am I saved? When really we need to say, I need to work hard on this sin area and use God's grace to change. Or has God abandoned me? Yeah. Wow. So Fred needs help, and that is where we're going to go next. We're going to try to help Fred. It is neat to look at these questions, and Pallison said that really what these four questions do is kind of trace how sin works. That we start off with being tempted, and that is the situation. Having coffee poured on you is not sin, but that is a temptation to sin, right? So what is the temptation is the situation we are in. How did I react is what the sin is, right? What are my motives is lust, and so what did I want, and what is the consequences, which is misery. Which is really what sin does, right? Temptation, sin, lust, and misery. And that is the way of our lives apart from God's grace. But God speaks into our lives. And so we want to get into some good stuff here. And it's wonderful because we're running out of time. But what's true? And I say example of Psalm 23, but I think it would be fun to look at a different psalm. And so we're going to do Psalm 34. Really, you could do anything. You may not want to go to your most, you know, judgment, you know, Isaiah, you know, 13 to 39, maybe not, but I was reading in Mark 1 and Jesus touching a leper. You could use that passage. But let's turn to Psalm 34. Go ahead. Get out your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 34. And what we're going to try to do is apply some biblical truth about what God says about what happened that morning. So go ahead and... I picked Psalm 34 because I was reading a devotional and I had a verse from Psalm 34 and I was reminded, hey, I really like Psalm 34. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'll read through it. And then what we're going to do is get into groups and we're going to try to journal for Fred. What are some truths to apply to this situation? You know, I don't know that we have time for groups. So we'll try to do it together instead. But I'll read through Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their face shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lip from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Hey, there is a ton of good news here. Maybe one stood out to you. So this is Fred thinking back, trying to apply the truth of this psalm to this situation he had this morning. Okay? So does anything pop out to you of something that is true that could be encouraging to Fred? The Lord is good. Yeah, and what might Fred write in that next sentence? You know, because he's going to journal. The Lord is good and... Yeah, yeah, he's processing the Lord being good in the context of a what happened.
Yeah, the Lord is good. I'm having a hard time believing that right now, but that's actually true. God is in control, and he's good. Thanks for being good. Thanks for the good.
This spilt coffee was part of his good plan for me. Right? Yeah, that right there, what Josh did now Josh is in seminary, but did you go to seminary to learn how to do that? No. That is just an example of journaling. Okay, he just put it into the first person eye. He launched from that. That is exactly what you want to do. What's something else in this that we might be able to apply? Yeah, Jeff. Yeah.
God, I'm afraid that I'm not going to make this meeting. It's going to mess up the deal. My livelihood. Help me to trust in you.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thank you. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't miss that deal. And then what is the other fear? Impoverishment and losing my home. But he's going to deliver us from those fears too, right? Who else? Doug. Yes, right? So for him to be able to go back and to say, now, I wish those were on my lips then,
but they're on my lips now. I would bless the Lord at all. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that beautiful? That is what God is bringing us towards, right? Like in this life, it's not going to be perfect, but truly we're going to get closer and closer as we use God's means of grace. I will bless his praise will continually be on my mouth, even though I'm wearing my coffee. Yeah, Melissa. Oh, great. And Fred, how are you not being humble? Yeah. Yeah. Great. So not only being encouraged by the truth of this and what it reveals about God, but we're also using it to confess, right? Yeah. That's great. Oh, interesting. Well, how did you lie, Fred? Right. It's the end of my life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Sweet. Thank you. Yeah, Jason. Great, great. Thanks. Thank you, Jason. It's wonderful. Hugo?
Yeah, from 15 on, it's pretty clear that the Lord answers prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And in multiple ways, he reminds us of how God is there and we're not abandoned.
Yeah. Yeah, right, which is totally what we're thinking at that point, right? The Lord's eyes are toward the righteous, confessing we haven't been righteous, but yet knowing in Christ we are righteous and his eyes are still towards us, right? In the midst, even in our sin, his eyes are still toward us. Ed, you got one? Mm-hmm. Right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Susan. Or yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. Right, yeah. So because we trust in his character and his promising giving us what is good for us, we know it's either not his good will for us. Yeah. This is just a fairly random Psalm. I know it is a little bit more well known. Calvin, you got one more for us? Yeah, like just another beautiful expression of God being for us. And that's really what you see in this psalm again and again, right? God is for his people. How can I imply God being for us in the midst of this trial? So, we are doing a lot of good things. And I think probably almost any day from your Bible time, you can be applying this, or you could apply a well-known psalm, like Psalm 23. If you need to see another example of that, David Powelson does it. Let's keep moving. Love doing that with you. Just such a neat boy. Like, this is what we can do with our brothers and sisters, right? We could share and say, boy, I blew it. Let's try to work through what God's, with the goodness of God's word says about this, not just a verse about anger. Although we're going to get to those next time, because there's a lot of verses about anger, but just God's goodness to us and being for us, the reality of what sin is. So we need to be thinking what is true. I don't know if I've turned. Next is, how do I turn to God for a help? Mm-hmm. And so these are prayers that we can pray. You might be launching from Psalm 34 or whatever it is. I think that we could do a couple of these quickly. Someone in a prayerful way say, you know, or what could Fred say? God, you are sovereign. You are sovereign. You are good. I had a friend who said about Jesus, you are the Lord of the day. I love that phrase. It's a good phrase. I don't know where he got it from. It just encapsulates he's sovereign and he's good. He's the Lord of the day. I'm facing what? I'm facing a broken relationship with my child. I'm facing a strained marriage now when I do go home. I'm facing a stressful drive to work. I'm facing losing my job. I don't know. You promise, though. You promise what? You promise redemption, right? And wow, it's even of this situation here, right? Yeah. And ultimately, final redemption, you promise. You'll never leave me nor forsake me. You promise forgiveness. You promise. We could add on. I've done wrong by. Notice I've done wrong by. Not my child did wrong. I've done wrong by. I've been misruled by my love of success, by my love of reputation, by my love of having my way. Please forgive me for forgetting that you're on the throne, for forgetting that you're good, for displacing you, for taking control. I love you because you first loved me. I love you because you've been faithful to me, even though you knew this was how I was going to respond. And we could add so many more there. Please help me to make this right. Yeah, Hugo?
Besides those two songs that you mentioned,
yeah. My first impulse is what else? Well, my first impulse is nothing too judgment heavy or like what wouldn't I recommend? Or like I was in, yeah, I just don't know. If you're going to see God's goodness, then you're going to be reminded. So anything that encapsulates the gospel. But like I was just in, and I mentioned like Mark 1 this morning where it says Jesus cleanses a leper, and he says, and a leper came to him imploring him and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Like there's truth there. I am dirty, Lord, right? Like I am unclean. I responded in a horrible way. I shamed you, God, but you are willing to make me clean. And then it says, moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. I mean, yeah, I will be clean. Jesus touches a leper. Like, that's beautiful. Right? He didn't need to touch him to heal him. So the truth is that Jesus extends his hand towards me in compassion when I just kicked God off his throne. Now, that's because I don't have a good answer. Really, but that's just from this morning's quiet time. And so be in God's word daily. I do like being, if you have time, whether reading something at night and in the morning, a couple places at a time. If you always read a psalm, you know, if you're reading in a couple places, I can almost guarantee you're going to have something that you could apply. Joshua? Yeah, yeah. And you can see the benefit too. And so a little of what we're kind of corporately doing here is whether journaling or kind of praying through scripture. And you can see it's such a good discipline to cultivate praying through scripture. So, and that's a little bit of what we are doing here. It's a good resource. I think it's called Praying with Scripture by Donald Whitney, and it'll at least get you started. Nate? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. 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 Well, and as we see the extent of and Psalm 103 is a great example of one of those passages. As we see the extent of God's goodness and the riches of His grace, it does show how small that was, but it also at the same time shows that this offense is a serious thing, right? Where the sure is a very small thing, but that this is the God who right? We just went atheist. We totally went atheist, not believing God, or we went terrorist trying to overthrow God. And thanks. Thank you. I've been misruled by, I love you because you cast my sins as far as the east is from the west. Please help me to, it's not just not get angry, but thank you for, I rejoice that. Okay, so 7, how could I respond constructively in the situation? So we can think through, what could I do differently next time? So we can't go back and rewrite the spilt coffee, but we could say, what should I have done, or what needed to be done in my heart so that I could have responded in a gracious way? Christ came so that we don't have to snap, right? We do not have to snap at our child, right? That is why Christ came. We can have a different response, but there's probably going to need to be doing something different in your heart if you're going to respond constructively. You're already going to be needing to have the gospel there. You're already going to be having to be being thankful, right? You're going to have to be aware of God's sovereignty. Maybe have started your day a little bit earlier so that you're not already panicking. How can I respond constructively right then? It might be to have the discipline of just not saying anything You know, people say counting to 10, that'd be more constructive than actively sinning. We could have more fun with this, but what are the consequences of faith and obedience? Imagine if, like, what a wonderful ordained opportunity. You there have coffee, and you're able to deal in a way that demonstrates to your child that you trust the Lord, that their life is more important than your job, that, oh, sweetie, I really wish you hadn't have done that. But the Lord, Jesus is still the Lord of this day, and he's still in charge. And honey, I know I'm going to be late to this important meeting, but God is going to take care of us, right? You, because of Christ living in you, have that ability to respond in this way, right? So we have to stop letting ourselves off saying, I'm just tired, I'm just grumpy, I'm just an angry person. What an opportunity to bring glory to Christ. Save those notes. No, really, save them and do this. But wouldn't that be neat if all of us, half of us, took the opportunity to try this with an angry moment, an irritated moment? It can be one where you're driving. It can be one with a family. Try to journal through this. It would be awfully cool to hear some of you say, hey, I applied this passage, and this is how. These are the truths that I found comforting in Psalm 74. I don't know. And then next week is our time of prayer. So thankful to see so many of you here. Looking forward to spending time praying next week. If there's a way that you're growing in this and you want us to make a list of ways we can grow for you in this, I would love to be praying. We can have an overcoming anger section where we're praying for you. Like, wouldn't that be cool? And so just reach out to me. But it's our time of prayer next Sunday. On the Sunday when we come back, we'll try to go both through two kinds of anger, the outburst anger and the more resentful, bitter, I'm not going to tell anyone and just hold you at arm's length for a while anger. So we'll try to go through both of those, which is the other way that this guy could have responded. And Fred was not doing that. And that's a crazy thing, right? You lash out towards your kids, but towards your boss, you keep it on the down low and keep the bitterness kind of just simmering for a couple years. Anyways, let's pray because we need help. Dear Father, thank you for this time. I love hearing my brothers and sisters participating. It's just been a sweet morning, and the power of Christ has been exalted. You've demonstrated your love for us, even in this imaginary person, Fred, who's not so imaginary. And thank you that you care about spilled coffee, that you ordain coffees to be spilt, and that is part of your good plan for us, that we would be transformed into the image of your son. Thank you, Lord. I was just blessed this week talking to a sister who is working hard at growing in this area. Help us all to be growing hard. And maybe it's not outbursts of anger. It could be a grumbling spirit, an unthankful spirit, a mistrusting spirit. Lord, thank you for Jesus Christ, that he really lives, that we're really united to him through the spirit that you have given to us, Lord, and we can be supernaturally different people. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.